we came here yesterday and we were talking to some individuals, they said, I guess you all were disappointed with the NBA finals this year, and especially since the Spurs beat the Mavericks. We've been away far too long. It was kind of a breath of fresh air to have the Spurs beat the Mavericks. I'm the Lone Ranger up there in so many ways. I have faxes that come through when the Spurs lose and the Mavericks win, and phone calls that come to remind me of just what a great team the Dallas Mavericks are. My only disappointment was not to be in San Antonio last Sunday. I was asked to tell a little bit about us, and now I'm going to make it a very little bit, because we need to look at a great God today. How are we doing? We're blessed. I don't know how else to answer that. You know, there's life's hard struggles, difficulties you face. There's times you get discouraged. There's times you get unexpected joys and blessings. But boy, in it all, you're blessed. We're blessed. And a man in our church, every Sunday, and then, how are you today? I'm blessed. Boy, what a way to respond. And how appropriate for God's people. We see our sons and daughters-in-law evidencing the work of grace in their lives. We're grateful for that. They still face some real struggles and difficulties also. Christie's up in New York. Joe's at Fort Benning right now, going through basic and officers training and whatever else, and his dear wife Kathy and their little son are with us for the next 3 to 4 months. Susie and her husband are up in Arlington, and their little son Christopher. We're thankful that they're in that area. Our son Daniel will finish at Texas in Austin in August and is intending to marry a sweet gal that we've known for a number of years, high school sweetheart, in December. And then David and his wife are in Austin with his business endeavors. So as the family grows older, you see them less all the time. And those times to spend with them become very special. As Jim mentioned earlier, the Lord does seem to have opened a way in which I can complete my doctorate either by December or possibly at the latest next May, and that will be an accomplishment that I'll be very grateful for, and then we can see what the Lord has in mind after that. I thought today it would be good for us to focus on something that I've been focusing on a lot this year, and that is just what God really expects of us, and how it is we're to be living our lives day in and day out, and what it is to really please a very wonderful Savior. And in the first hour, we did part one of a study I want out of Hebrews 1 through 3, and I'd like us to look at that together again today. In the first hour, I asked the children about how important eyesight was. It's a real blessing to be able to see, and especially to be able to see clearly, and that's what we talked about, just being sure we had the right focus. We saw things in a right perspective. We had good eyesight. We were focused on the right object. And that object is obviously Jesus Christ the Lord. Today, most games are sitting at a couch or on the floor with buttons in our hands, aren't they? And the young ones are becoming whizzes at all their little computer games, Nintendo games, and Pac-Man games, and who knows what other games. But a game I remember that kids used to play all the time, and probably once in a while, even in spite of all the technology, you fall into it. Did you ever play Follow the Leader? where somebody goes first and you try to walk in the same steps they're walking in or do whatever they do. You know, follow the leader. It's a fun game, and you try, if you're the leader, to make it hard so the people following you can't do what you're doing. But today we're going to talk about following the leader. And sometimes it is hard, but he doesn't make it hard for us. In fact, he says, I'm right there to make sure you can make it through. And we're going to talk about that today. What it means to follow the leader, Jesus Christ. And what he asks us to do as we follow his lead. So I want you to listen real carefully as we study in Hebrews chapter 13 about following the leader. Let's pray and ask God to bless us as we study together. Father, we humbly bow before you, not out of ritual, but out of need. This is your book. You are its author. And our lives and our hearts become so entangled with the things of this world that can choke out the word. And so we're taking just a moment to be still. We're asking that the Spirit of God would prepare our hearts to receive your truth. And we're asking, Father, that you would show us glimpses of your glory as we open your word, and that eternal good would be accomplished in the heart and lives of each one who is here. Father, I ask that you would be pleased to bless your word today and to make me an instrument of blessing. I pray, Father, that we would exalt and honor Jesus Christ the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. They say it was unexpected. The Spurs win the championship. What enthusiasm in the city! I think it's time some of these businesses change their sign, Go Spurs Go, to Way to Go Spurs, right? All the enthusiasm that is here. We find that individuals talk about the fact that we didn't think it had all come together this quickly, this well. What a great way for a real ambassador of Christ to complete a very successful season, a successful career. David Robinson. I'm glad it was four opponents they had to beat in 6 out of 7 games, so that they won it in 6-6-6-6 instead of 6-6-6. I read a quote from David talking about next year, and he said that he'll have to be sitting as a fan, which is really a lot harder to do than being a player. I have to confess there were a couple times I turned the game off throughout these series. I just knew I was going to lose my sanctification more than I had if I watched any longer. Sadly, I missed the big comeback with that whiz kid Steve Kerr because I just couldn't take that game any longer. And went upstairs to do some work, and my wife every once in a while would say, you got to come see this. And I thought, I just can't handle it. So I had to watch it on SportsCenter. Why do I say all that? Not just to say it's wonderful to see what happened with a team that we all have enjoyed. You know, life is like sports. There's a lot that goes in to being a winner. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of diligence, a lot of hanging in there. A book that was compiled recently about a photographic celebration of courage in American sports says, never, never quit. Because quitters never win. neither in sport or in life. Quitters never win. Another Texas legend is a man by the name of Darryl Royal. A quotation from him goes as follows. As long as a person doesn't admit he is defeated, he is not defeated. He is just a little behind and isn't through fighting. Life is like sport. And there are so many circumstances in which we feel we're overwhelmed and a little behind. What is it you do with those circumstances? Do you throw in the towel? Do you give up? Do you say it isn't worth it? If you're down by 20 points in a game, do you say there's no sense playing the second half? Or do you have the thrill of seeing the NBA championship in San Antonio, Texas? And it's because they did not admit defeat. They were a little behind, but they weren't through fighting. And if there is any Christian community that ought to understand the reality of how we live life in the midst of all of its struggles, its difficulties, its obstacles, the fact that there are times we feel so overwhelmed, it's a Bible church in San Antonio, Texas, that had modeled out for them in recent past the importance of never giving up, the importance of never quitting, no matter how difficult the task may appear to be, no matter how overwhelming the odds. The fact that those who were supporting you in your endeavors, who thought you would do well, eventually changed and said, I think the other team is going to end up winning the championship. It doesn't matter what other people may think. It doesn't matter what the circumstance may be. What matters is the heart of the competitor. And whether or not in the struggles and the difficulties of life, you never, never quit. Because quitters never win. And winners never quit. As you and I face life itself, the Lord tells us in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that our responsibility with what is before us today is to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Every phase of life has struggles, has difficulties, has times in which we feel like there's no way to climb that mountain. There's no way to overcome that hurdle. There's no way to accomplish that task. But quitters never win. And God's word to His people is run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen how it's found in this context, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, see, the message here is not for those outside the body of Christ. It's for God's people, for individuals who have said, I have put my faith and my confidence in Jesus Christ. I am trusting Him for my eternal well-being. Well, brother and sister in Christ, you need to remember that faith is not merely a destination. It is a journey. It is a daily walk with Jesus Christ. How ludicrous for us to say, I'm trusting Christ for the eternal well-being of my soul. But faith isn't an issue in how I deal with my circumstances each day. Faith is a daily issue. Faith is a journey. And God will continue to put us in places where our resources fail, so that we can learn that His resources are more than sufficient. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself. For what reason? So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You've probably heard it said, you may even have seen that there's a book written that says, life is good. In a sense, that's a lie. Life is hard. God is good. This world isn't meant to be your utopia. In spite of all the political haranguing you'll hear about enjoying the American dream, this life is hard. But God is good. And God's people are called upon to trust Him, to depend upon Him, to rely upon Him as they go through the difficulties of life. And He says we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. In these short little verses, we find this word endurance or endure repeating itself four times in case we're slow to get what He says we need to do. If you are one of God's children, you need to endure. If you are one of God's people, you need to hang in there. And you have the example of Jesus Christ, who endured the greatest of all difficulties, the cross itself. And He endured the hostility of sinners. So don't start having a pity party. Don't start feeling sorry for yourself. Don't start looking at your circumstances and say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen and nobody knows my sorrow. You have a great high priest in Jesus Christ who can identify with you, who's been where you are, who has struggled with things far greater than you will ever face. And He endured. He accomplished the will of God. And where is He now? He has sat down at the right hand of God. And He is a picture and a parallel for us. As we mentioned earlier, this book of Hebrews was written to a Christian community that was struggling with persecution and all of the pressures that they were facing because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ. And the Jewish community did not like to have individuals who were saying they were wrong. They had crucified the promised Messiah. And unless they repented and put their trust in Him, they would suffer the wrath of God Himself. And the writer of Hebrews was telling them that what you have in Jesus Christ is far superior than anything that could be had under Judaism. Both in His person and in His work, He is greater. And with this preeminence of Christ, there is an obligation for God's people. And God's people are to persevere in the faith. It begins in chapter 10. And we're in that section of chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, which says, since this is what we have in Christ, here is how we're to live. And at the end of that 10th chapter, he says, what you have need of is endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive what is promised. He then moves into the 11th chapter to speak of men and women who endured and who were blessed by God as they walked faithfully with Him. Did Noah face any obstacles? See, we just think of riding the ark, weathering the flood. That man did the will of God for 100 years building that ark. And the whole time he was ridiculed by sinners all around him. Day in, day out, look at the idiot. And they had no comprehension of what was going on until the flood came and washed them all away. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised an offspring. And year after year after year, Abraham and Sarah waited. 25 years later, a baby by the name of Joy was born. Laughter. You know that one as Isaac. 25 years they waited for God to fulfill His promise. Any different with Moses? He lived in very difficult times. To preserve his life, he was providentially removed from his mother at a very early age and grew up in Pharaoh's home. Given the finest schooling, and then sure that the Israelites would understand God's purpose for him in their experience, he presented himself as their deliverer, only to be rejected by them and to spend another 40 years taking care of sheep in the wilderness. Was he the promised deliverer of the Israelites in bondage in Egypt? He was. And 40 years after he made his first presentation, he came in with a mighty hand and brought them out of Egypt. David, I've appointed you to be king over Israel. How did God get David to the throne? Not the way you would have designed. Not the way I would design. But by running for his life from King Saul. God had a prescribed course set out for the best good of each one of his servants. And by faith, they trusted God. By faith, they endured. And they are now a cloud of witnesses around us to say, endure. Persevere. Hang in there. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What are you called to do? You're called to follow God, to obey His will in your daily circumstances. That's your race. That's your course that is set out for you. Now, if you think of being involved in an athletic contest like we have here, there's two important things to remember. If you're going to be involved in running a race, the first thing you have to do is what? You got to get ready. You have to train. If you don't condition yourself, you're not going to compete. There's one sense in which we have to condition ourselves physically, because living in this world and spiritually has physical demands upon us. And if there's any message that the Christian community ought to get in what is now being placed upon the American society, is we basically are an unfit group of people. No wonder we have no endurance. And Christian people ought to take that seriously as well if you plan to do the will of God. because it taxes God's people mentally, emotionally, physically, as well as spiritually. If I am going to run with endurance the race that is set before me, the first thing I need to recognize is the importance of my conditioning. But no matter how much we want to emphasize that physical conditioning, you know what conditioning has to be there? It has to be the spiritual conditioning. I can't run a race with endurance if I am not spiritually conditioned for the race. And there's two important ingredients to running a race with endurance and being conditioned to handle what comes. The first has to do with this important book, the Word of God. And it has to be something that does not merely sit on a shelf in your home, even maybe sitting on the nightstand by your bed, something you carry to services and worship on Sunday and open it up to study. Psalm 1, you familiar with that? How blessed is the individual who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And what does he do with it? He meditates upon it day and night. Or we'll go to that great psalm that just deals with the importance and the relevance of God's Word. Psalm 119. How can a young man, or young woman, or old man, or an old woman, keep his or her way pure? By taking heed according to what? Thy Word. Thy Word I have on my computer. Thy Word I have in my Palm Pilot. Thy Word I have sitting on the shelf at home. Thy Word, says the psalmist, I have hidden in my heart. For what reason? That I might not sin against you. Some of us need to sit down and just start talking about our conditioning. Whether we're even ready to run the race. And if I am going to run the race with endurance, if I am going to compete in the game of life, I have to be conditioned for the race. And it begins with saturating myself in God's Word. Paul in the book of Romans says it like this. In light of all of God's mercies, I'm in chapter 12 if you wonder where I am. I beseech you therefore, brethren, based on the mercies of God, that you present yourselves how? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Worship is much more than the glorious things we're doing here. Worship is a life of devotion to the Savior Himself. Here I am, Lord, send me, use me, consume me for your glory. There's worship. And, he says, do not be conformed to the age in which you live, but be transformed how? By renewing your mind. By the renewal of your mind. You renew your mind in His Word. This Word helps us think His thoughts after Him. This Word has to become the grid that governs our thinking so that when we're in the pressures of life situations, we make decisions that glorify God and are really for our best good. If I'm going to compete in the race, I got to be conditioned for what will be demanded. Do you know when the pressure is going to come and you're going to need His Word? Because your adversary is an unseen enemy, isn't he? And he is playing for keeps. Your adversary stalks about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And you know what always impresses me about Satan? He knows my Achilles heel. I wish he didn't.
crumble on the race course.
When he was confronted by Jesus Christ in the wilderness, because I want you to know who was taking charge in that wilderness encounter. The testing in the wilderness was an issue Satan didn't want to have to deal with. But he's backed into the corner. How did he attack Jesus Christ? Through God's Word. And what is so amazing is he quotes God's Word contextually correct. Something many of us hardly ever do. We're so used to just taking a text out of context to prove some point when it may not say that at all. When you look at how Satan uses the Bible, he applied it directly to where it was supposed to be applied, to Jesus Christ. And because of the wisdom of the God-man, he knew how to counter the way Satan deceptively was using the Word of God. He's slick. He's the serpent. He knows how to entice. He knows how to get your eyes off the target. Are you conditioned to compete in the game of life? Do you remember again Psalm 1? That man who meditates day and night in the law of the Lord, what happens to him? He's like a tree that's firmly planted. Its roots go down deep into the springs of water. And even when the hot, fever heat of summer comes, his leaf does not wither. He bears fruit in his own season, and this is the part I like. And in whatever he does, he prospers. When we write something down, we take tests, we're involved in taking notes, we all have pencils with something on the other end that we like having there because we didn't write something down correctly, don't we? It's called an eraser. And that's fine when you're taking a test in school, when you're taking notes. But there are no erasers in the game of life. You can't erase your mistakes. What you sow is what you must reap. And if you're going to compete in the game of life, it has to begin with having God's Word as your foundation. The second part of being conditioned to compete is being a man or a woman of prayer. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 32? In Psalm 32, he says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you at the time when you can be found." In other words, that you have become so accustomed to communicating with your Heavenly Father that when the issues and the pressures come, it's not a strange thing for you to call upon His name. And far too often, we can offer up those prayers in an emergency, but we have no confidence that God's heard us. You know why? Because we're not accustomed to being a man or a woman of prayer. If you're going to compete to win, you have to be conditioned. And to be conditioned to run the race that is set before you with endurance, you have to be a man or a woman of this book. You have to be a man or a woman that knows how to lay hold of the power of the Almighty God. And to be able to rest securely and comfortably in Him. Let us therefore run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's a big difference in running a sprint and running a marathon or running the steeplechase or some of the other events, isn't there? No, a sprinter, it's the technique. You want the fast start. You want to be sure you're low when you come out of the blocks. You want to make sure your legs are pumping and it's like on hot coals and they're hardly hitting the track. You want to make sure that you're just focused on that tape that's just 100 meters ahead of you. And all you look at is just keep running forward, because if you turn your head even slightly one direction or the other, you break stride enough that someone else is going to beat you. It all takes place in 10 seconds. Life isn't like that. You're not running a sprint. You're running the race of life, which is a marathon. And so you have to run with endurance. Now there's an implication that we find in the idea of saying we have to run with endurance. And that is the fact that it isn't easy. If it was easy, everyone could do it, and there'd be no admonition to us here that this is what we need to do. If living as a Christian in this world was an easy task, everybody would jump on the bandwagon. But basically, human beings are cowards, no matter how macho they may appear to be. Because serving in this world as a Christian means that if there is not the work of God's grace to uphold you, you'll crumble and fall too. It has nothing to do with you're better than someone else. It has everything to do with the efficacy of our Lord and Savior. What made the difference between Judas and Peter? I'll tell you what made the difference. Jesus said something to Peter that he never said to Judas. Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when you're restored, strengthen the brethren. You read your Bibles and find him say anytime he prayed for Judas. The Savior has a purpose, and it's to keep all of his sheep. He's not going to let any one of them go. You know what he's doing now, seated at the right hand of the Father? He's always living to make intercession for you, to make intercession for his sheep, that they be kept by the power of God. Because running the race of life is a struggle. It's hard. And as you grow older, it doesn't get any easier. You face increased obstacles and difficulties as even physical and mental resources begin to dwindle away. And you learn more and more with each passing day that without the grace of God, I just could not endure. I could not stand. I'm not here because I'm better than someone here else. I am here because of grace. And only because of grace. And what God says I need to do today is depend upon him for grace and run with endurance the race that is set before me. As we saw in the earlier hour, this race is not something you design or I design. It's the race he designs. It is the race that is set before you and the race that is set before me. You see, if I could design my race and I go to Hebrews chapter 11, I'll tell you which ones I want my race course to be. I want the ones to be the one who shut the mouths of lions, not the one who was eaten by the lions. I don't want to be the one that was stoned to death. I don't want to be the one that was cut in half by a saw. I don't want to be the one that runs around this world destitute and naked. But they're in Hebrews 11. And they were just as faithful to God as the Davids, the Samsons, the Moses, the others who are listed. But God's got a race course for each one of us. Who was more spiritual? Who was more godly? James, the brother of John, or Peter? Who? Which one? Why are you looking at me so strange? Because you want to say Peter was more spiritual. That's why God set him free from prison when he had James put to death. See, it isn't that way at all. What's really most important is James honored God in his death and Peter honored God in his deliverance. And both men were living by faith. And both individuals were enduring the race that God had set out for them. And both individuals delighted the heart of God. When you run a race that is set for endurance, the marathon, the steeplechase, you have to have speed. There has to be a reserve that's there, so maybe it's the sprint at the end or when someone tries to jockey for position, you can hold them off. I know this isn't a running race, but one of the races I just am infatuated with every year is the Tour de France. Boy, go Lance. That guy impresses me so much. There's a strategy, though, isn't there? It isn't just the speed he has and the strength that he has. When he is competing in a race that demands endurance, there's a strategy to winning that race. He doesn't necessarily take the lead on day one. He waits for the right time. He makes his move. And those who are part of his team help him get there. God, we need to learn. We're called upon to run a race with endurance. And as we're conditioned to compete, we have to have the speed, we have to have the strength, but we also need to have the strategy to know what is the issues that we really deal with in life. What things do we need to give attention to, and what things do we set aside? What things are really important and issues that we need to face? And what's just keeping us from accomplishing what God wants us to do? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because our example is in Jesus Christ. He had a choice to make. But his desire and determination was to do the Father's will. Because what mattered to him was hearing the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He endured the cross. He endured the hostility of sinners. Isaac Watts, I think, summarized it very well in that hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" Remember how he said it? "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease?" Oh, yeah. That sounds great, doesn't it? "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by your word." Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you are going to endure and do the will of God, if you are going to be an individual who never gives up, you need to consider Christ. You need to focus on Him. For as we saw in our first study, He's the pattern that we're called upon to follow. And as we follow Him, I need to be sure I do not grow weary or lose heart. Don't give up. What should matter more than anything else is that you delight the heart of God. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, had confidence in that second letter to say to Timothy, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award to me, and not only to me, but to all who love his appearing." See, there's the bottom line. Our perseverance is based upon the fact that we have someone we love. And we look forward to, in the very near future, seeing him face to face. And what I need to remember is that if I'm going to be a winner, I can never never quit. I need to run the race that God has set before me.
The perfect ending. Cover of Sports Illustrated. David Robinson said, "My NBA career could not have been scripted any better." He may not have known it, but he said a profound Christian truth. What God has for every one of his children is a perfect ending. And it could never have been scripted better. And what you need to do, and what I need to do, is run with endurance the race that is set before me, looking to Jesus, who strengthens, encourages, and sustains my faith. For as Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount out up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and will not faint. Young people, life is hard. I'd be lying to you if I told you differently. But no matter how hard life may be, no matter how difficult may be what God has apportioned for you, you have a God who is greater than all, who is more than capable, and your life will be enriched in ways that defy description if you walk with Him, if you trust Him, if you seek to honor Him each and every day, and take joyfully from His hand what He has given to you as your portion for this day. Because quitters never win, and winners never quit. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your truth. And I especially thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the words we studied today be an encouragement to each one of us to delight Your heart, to be grateful for the portion You've given to us, and to truly honor and glorify You with how we conduct ourselves on the race of life that You have laid out for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.